This is Jay Sekulow. Will the Republicans use what's called the nuclear option, or I call the constitutional option, to avoid a government shutdown?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Shut it down. That's the message from the president here at the White House, as we're now just hours away from a potential government shutdown coming up at 11:59 tonight.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
In order to get the president to sign whatever makes it to his desk, Republicans and Democrats are going to have to come to some sort of a compromise.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we are on the threshold of what looks like a potential government shutdown. I wouldn't say potential. We're definitely on the threshold of a potential government shutdown. We also have the question of what's called the nuclear option, which I really call the constitutional option, and that is whether you go with a 50-vote or 60-vote on the budget. By the way, the resolution, the bill passed the House of Representatives last night, with a $5.7 billion budget allocation for the border wall, border security, and that is now going to the Senate. So I'm going to go right to Than Bennett. Give us the latest on what you're seeing there.
Yeah, remember when Nancy Pelosi sat in the Oval Office and told President Trump that it couldn't pass the House? Well, she was decidedly incorrect on that, Jay. It got passed last night in the House with $5.7 billion for the wall and $8 billion for disaster relief by, get this, Jay, a vote of 217 to 185, so 32 votes clear of the margin that it needed to pass. Now the bill is over in the United States Senate. Probably sometime while we're on the air, Jay, they will attempt to pass what is called a motion to proceed, which is to begin debate on the bill. At this point, it does not look like that version has the votes in the United States Senate. But look, this is going to have to be one step at a time. As our listeners know, at some stage of this process, as current rules stand, it will take 60 votes to move out of the United States Senate. And as of right now, Jay, there's not a single Democrat in the United States Senate willing to go along with this.
Jordan, what do you think here?
I think that, listen, I mean, the tough part will be, of course, is that without a Democrat willing to go along with this, you'd have to look to one of President Trump's tweets, something that many Republican members of Congress have been reluctant to do. That would be the so-called constitutional or nuclear option on legislative filibusters. We already have that on nominees, so cabinet nominees and judicial nominees. We have done away with the 60-vote threshold. It was Harry Reid, it was Democrats who first did that with judicial nominees other than Supreme Court nominees. Now it includes Supreme Court nominees and right. cabinet officials. This would mean a removal of the legislative filibuster for all legislation. Now that only requires 50 votes, and you can get the vice president to cast the tie-breaking vote. The question is, a number of Republican senators have expressed opposition to this because of what it may mean for the future of legislation in the U.S. Senate. Does the Senate just become like the House of Representatives, where it's just always a majority vote? Now, they make up their own rules. I think in this situation and the kind of gridlock we see in Washington, getting rid of a legislative filibuster may not be a bad idea. Now, of course, be careful what you wish for. If the Senate Democrats took over and there was a Democrat president, you know, they would be able to easily pass legislation. So Republican minorities would no longer be able to prevent legislation either. But Republican minorities have never been as good at preventing legislation. It's usually Democrats who are. The question is, and I this would go to Than, are there enough Republicans that would even vote on getting rid of the legislative filibuster, Than?
Yeah, at this point, just the honest truth, Jordan, is probably not. I mean, if you look at the public statements, there are at least a dozen Republicans in the United States Senate who have said explicitly that they are not willing to change that rule. Now, look, people change their minds, Jordan. So you never know till they go down to the floor to cast a vote. But if you look at the public statements, they are probably, at the very best case scenario, somewhere in the mid-30s for senators willing to change that rule. And Jordan, that would be if all of those that we haven't heard from went along with it. Even that's probably unlikely.
All right, so here's what we've got. This is going to be an interesting 24 hours, to say the least, and maybe an interesting couple of weeks. So we want to know what your reaction is to all this at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Do you support the government shutdown? Also coming up, we're going to be talking about two major cases of the American Center for Law and Justice that we're going to want to update you on. But don't forget, we're in the final days of our matching challenge campaign. We're behind about $250,000 from where we were last year, where we want to be. We had a good day yesterday. Nice response. I want to thank you for that. But, Jordan, let's
donate online at aclj.org. Your donation is doubled. So whatever you donate, we have a donor ready to match that. Donate now at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the government shutdown. We're going to take a call on that right away. Then we're going to talk about some of our cases. Let's go ahead and take Jonah calling from Poughkeepsie, New York on line one. Hi, Jonah. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call. Sure. We all know that it's a political matter for the Democrats. They've supported funding for border security in the past.
Yep.
When the president says he'd be proud to shut it down or he'd be willing to shut it down, that's one way of saying it. But the other way of saying it is that the Democrats are willing to not support border security in order to force the president to do what he said. The $5 billion is a drop in the bucket. You've got the debt who's raising significant capital, which is more of a gesture to the American people at a grassroots level.
Look, you're 100% correct. Here's the situation. The border wall funding is a rounding error, not even, in the budget. So this has nothing to do with the actual expenditure. This is a political football. That's what's going on right now. And you're right. Democrats in the past have supported border security, including the building of a security wall. That does not their position now. So, Than, give a realistic assessment as to what's going to happen.
Well, I think if you look at the House vote last night, not a single Democrat voted for this expenditure. Jonah is exactly correct. It's not about the dollars. It's about the politics. And if you look over the United States Senate vote, Jay, if you looked at history, you would think that Chuck Schumer would be a yes on this because he was in 2006 to the tune of 700 miles. But, Jay, he has already said he will not vote for a single dime for this. In fact, current funding, Jay, for border security is at $1.6 billion. His offer for border security without a wall is $1.3 billion. So he actually wants to cut border security now, which is just ridiculous. But I would say realistic expectation, I don't think there's a Democrat that's going to vote for this, Jay.
So that means it's going to be a government shutdown.
It appears that we are moving towards a government shutdown unless there was some kind of action that Republicans were convinced. I'd say Republicans that were convinced to get rid of the legislative filibuster once and for all. I mean, they can always be brought back. Senate makes its rules. But it appears that is an unlikely scenario right now as we speak, just because of where Republicans are on the record about doing that. That doesn't mean their minds wouldn't change, but a lot of Republicans who are outgoing, I don't think they want that necessarily to be part of their legacy, and they're just not that concerned about it. So the question is then, is it a shutdown? Yes. And the president has warned this is not going to be a temporary shutdown where he's going to accept some continue. This will be a long shutdown. He's gone so far as to say, I'm not even going to go down to Mar-a-Lago. I'm not going to leave Washington, D.C., put a lot of pressure on Congress not to go home for Christmas either.
All right, so we'll see what happens. I want to take a moment here, though, to update you on a major case involving the American Center for Law and Justice, actually involving a pastor who's in jail in China. Cece Howell, senior counsel for the ACLJ, who handles a lot of these very high-level diplomatic measures. There's diplomatic and legal. These are always complicated cases. But for those that don't know, we represent a pastor who has permanent resident status in the United States, but now is in jail in China. Cece, first, let's update our audience. This is we're on the eve of Christmas here, so in just a few days. So I think it's important to be praying for Pastor Saw.
Yeah, Pastor Saw has been in prison, wrongfully convicted, for 21 months now. And so this is going to be his second Christmas that he's spent away from his family, who live in North Carolina. So his wife and two sons have been without their husband and father for 21 months. And his next appeal, which the court keeps pushing back wrongfully, I would say, is January 22nd. So we're waiting till January 22nd to see if he's going to have his appeal hearing and if he's going to get justice.
You know, there was a report that came out about a week ago that the president of China, in a speech, and I never got a verification of it, made a statement that basically that Christianity was the main block to the increase of the government, the China policy, unification.
Yes, there's been a major crackdown in China on Christians. Specifically, even the state-sponsored, state-approved churches are being shut down. So it's not just house churches, which have also faced increasing destruction of the church properties, imprisonment of the church officials, so basically the disbandment of the churches, but also the state-approved churches are also being shut down and destroyed. So yes, part of President Xi's his policy is to completely rid China of Christianity because he believes it is standing in the way of a totally unified China, the same way he is treating that Muslim minority as well, the Uyghurs in Western China, because he sees that, again, as because they are a religious minority, as a barrier to a unified China.
Yeah. So, Cece, the pastor gets charged with what? What was the charge here?
The charge was organizing illegal border crossings. So yeah. Pastor Saw has been in China as a missionary and also in the United States working for over two decades.
Over 20 years.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. And he's done great work. So he was going into northern Myanmar and establishing schools for 2,000 children, just doing great work. And so China grabbed him and arrested him for organizing illegal border crossings, which is ridiculous. They had no evidence for that. He was not organizing illegal border crossings. That's a charge that's usually set for human trafficking. He was simply going and doing missionary work. And so it's
now, what is the sentence right now? People need to understand. It's a sentence for 6 years,
yeah,
right?
7 years. He's already been in 20 months. So he still has, you know, a long sentence to serve in a Chinese prison, which is not great conditions.
So, Than, as you know, because you deal with these issues in Washington and also at our UN scenario, we've had really, by God's grace, 100% success on the cases that we've endeavored. Some of them take a long time, though. I mean, Sia Bibi's case was 5 years, a half a decade. But we've had great success. This is a new one, and obviously we're giving it some attention and profile here. But what do you expect? The State Department, I know, there were negotiations going on before. And that's kind of fallen apart. I'm actually on the verge. I mean, we are drafting a letter from me to the president of China, also to the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C., to address this immediately, because we think this needs to be elevated in a priority level. What is the sense in Washington on this? Is it getting much traction yet? We're just starting to.
It is a little bit, Jay, but I think there are a couple of things that need to happen, and we've been starting this aggressively as possible. The first is they have to understand that even though, as Cece said, there was a minor crossing violation he was charged with, there really is a faith component to this.
Of course.
If Pastor Saw was not a Christian, he would not be held for that violation. So that understanding has to be understood even more deeper in Washington than it already is. And the second thing, Jay, is it's time to raise the volume on this. I mean, as you know, there have been back channel negotiations through the State Department. Members of Congress Congress have engaged through letter previously. But Jay, it's pretty clear that China has dug in on this one. So our government has to understand that now is the time to go public, to raise the volume, to raise awareness, and to state in no uncertain terms to China that this is a resolution that we expect to happen. Jay, we're going to get members of Congress to engage with us on that. That won't be a problem. But our role in that is to stress to them that the time to do that is now.
Well, I want to send the letters to the government officials in China, and we want to do that with an announcement of our representation there, you know, formally. So we'll figure out what the best day to do that is so we can get some attention. Media attention on this is critical, and I always thank our friends in the media. Sometimes, you know, look, I deal with all of them, as you know, in my other capacities, and that they were really helpful on Pastor Brunson's case. I mean, everybody from CNN to Reuters to Fox News, of course, to AP, to the Washington Post, New York Times. I mean, people really cover that. And this is another one. It's just starting. Our representation is really just getting underway. We've been involved a couple of weeks now, maybe a month. We've been doing the groundwork you have to do in order to get these cases ready.
Right. It's never as easy as it seems. So, you know, just doing the background work, the research to make sure we know exactly what is going on and we know how to present this case. That's what's been happening. But we are ready to, you know, go full force now.
Yeah. All right, let's go. We're going to go back to the phones. We're also talking about the government shutdown. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go to Ben in Oregon on line three. Ben, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, since the spending bill has passed the House of Representatives,
yep.
I wonder, hello?
You're here. You're on the air.
Okay. I wonder if it can wait to pass in the Senate till after they...
No, it can't, because the Democrats will take over, so that legislation dies off. So what you were asking is, okay, so the Republicans passed it with $5.7 billion. Can it get to the Senate? Could we wait till there's more Republicans in the Senate and then try to get the $5.7 billion passed that way?
Yeah.
No, the legislation dies at the end of the legislative year, and when the new Congress comes forward, it'll be Democrat-controlled House, and that legislation will no longer be good.
All right, let's get Joseph also on the same question. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hi, I was calling to say that I support the government shutdown, mainly because I think that Trump has a lot more leverage than most people expect.
How's that going to play out, Jordan, as far as the leverage goes?
It's interesting. 75% of the government is fully funded already. The Defense Department, labor, HHS, education, energy, water, legislative branch, military. So we're talking about, again, about 25% of the federal government that isn't totally funding it. Yep. Even that 25%,
yep.
All essential employees will be working.
All right, Cece, back on Pastor Saul's case very quickly here as we go to a break. What is the next hearing date for him?
January 22nd.
All right, so we've got
to make sure, yep. Pressure
That's
puts on for that
for
the date.
Appeal. So we've got lawyers there's lawyers working in China. We're working in the United States. We've got a full team involved in this, as you can imagine. Your support for the ACLJ allows us to represent people like Pastor Saw, and we could use your support right now. Jordan?
Yeah. We have a matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Whatever you are able to donate is doubled. So you double the impact of your donation. If you make a $20 donation, that's how much you're charged. We have a donor ready to match that $20. It becomes $40. The ACLJ, and any donation is matched, low or high. Go to ACLJ.org, be part of that matching challenge today.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Well, things are very active in Washington, D.C. on a whole host of levels. There's a talk of a government shutdown. Ben, I'm going to keep going back to you on this. Any new latest developments?
Well, the Senate is gaveled into session now, Jay. Chuck Schumer's addressing the floor of the Senate. Essentially, what people who are monitoring this are looking for is when they move to consider what's called a motion to proceed, which would begin debate on the bill. Jay, they have not done that yet, but it could happen anytime. And I would say probably the next 10 minutes is likely if they do move to it. So that's where we're at right now. But look, this could still take a lot of turns.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to monitor that. We're also talking about, and we want to know if you support the government shutdown if necessary for border security, 1-800-684-3110. We also want to talk about a couple of our cases. So let's get, we'll start. There's something else going on in Washington, D.C. right now, and that is a due date for a brief to the Supreme Court in the United States. Jeff Surtees, the senior counsel for the ACLJ. Jeff, tell everybody about the case.
Absolutely, Jay. Yeah, we are filing an amicus brief with the United States Supreme Court today in support of the Bladensburg Peace Cross. This Peace Cross was erected almost 100 years ago by the American Legion and a group of bereaved mothers on behalf of 49 men from Prince George's County in Maryland who died in World War I. This statue, this monument, like I said, it's been there for nearly 100 years, but the American Humanist Association filed a lawsuit challenging this display, saying it was unconstitutional under the Establishment Clause. The Fourth Circuit agreed, actually, with the American Humanist Association, and the Supreme Court has agreed to take this case. So today we are filing a brief in support of that cross, in support of the 49 soldiers and Marines that cross represents.
And that's true. I mean, and we're actually representing a general from the United States, a retired general from the United States Marine Corps in it. You know, Jeff, quickly here on the case itself, the thrust of the argument is, of course, that this memorial is not a violation of the Establishment Clause. How do you see the court lining up?
I think the court's going to line up very well indeed in support of the Peace Cross in this case, Jay. The big question for me, and actually for everyone, is how broad or narrow will the decision be? Will the court be to, you know, take baby steps here and say that, well, 100-year-old cross memorials that are there for from World War I are okay, and just leave it at that? Or, as we argue in our brief that we're filing today, should the Supreme Court take a further step and do what it has been needed to be done for decades now, and that is clean up its Establishment Clause jurisprudence? I mean, just last term, Justice Thomas said, our Establishment Clause jurisprudence is in disarray. It's now time for the Supreme Court to clean that up.
Well, I could tell you, someone that's litigated those cases at the Supreme Court for decades, and we've had great success, but I will tell you, the Establishment Clause jurisprudence is in disarray is really an understatement, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've visited this cross, and Than Bennett has driven by the cross a number of times on his commutes. I mean, this is, again, it's something important for our radio listeners to understand as well. I know on Facebook and Periscope people have seen the images and do see the images, but for our radio listeners to understand, I mean, you could tell it's historic just by driving by it, that it's a World War I era cross. It is clear that it's been there for a long time. It's kind of in a roundabout in an area that was specifically there not to honor all World War I veterans or those who were killed, but specifically for the people in Bladensburg, the families there, and we're showing those pictures on Facebook right now in Periscope, for the families there because their loved ones who were lost were buried overseas. And so this was like a grave site, a place to visit, to pay their respects for the loved ones they lost in World War I. And of course, now this has become a monument that has other monuments surrounding it to honor more veterans and more war dead. But to just go back and remind you, this is a gravestone. This was a grave marker for the Bladensburg community in Maryland to be able to go. And this was a suburb of Washington, D.C., and would have been a very close suburb at that time period in Washington, D.C. So, again, it was a place to go to pay their respects to those who were lost from that area of Maryland.
Cece, you've handled a lot of these establishment clause cases. It is a mess.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you don't know
really
what's right, what's wrong, what the Supreme Court's going to say is right or wrong. You know, one case it's okay, and another case it's not. So we need clarification.
Literally,
absolutely.
That happened in a Ten Commandments case. There were two decisions on the same day. One said the Ten Commandment monument was fine. The other one said it's not. So that tells you that. So that's not the only thing we've got going on right now. So while we're talking about government shutdowns, while we're talking about representing a pastor who's in jail in China, we talked about filing a brief at the Supreme Court of the United States on that cross case. We also have filed a brief in a case in the district court standing up for life. Ed White's with us. He's a senior counsel for the ACLJ. Ed, tell us about this case.
Yes. Merry Christmas, all. Yep. This case we filed a few months ago in Iowa on behalf of two pro-life activists. There's a statute in Iowa that makes it a crime if you make a loud noise outside of a building, a house, that causes unreasonable distress to the occupants. And we filed this lawsuit because this law can be used to silence speech because it turns on the reaction of the hearer. So in our situation,
so it's not a decibel. It's not a decibel level monitor, which those things that pass muster, where it's certain amount of dBs. You can't. You see that in music venues. You can only go to a certain amount of dBs. It's not that. It's reaction of the listener.
Correct. Right. It doesn't say if it's over 130 decibels or something like that. It's if it causes unreasonable distress. So if you're inside of an abortion clinic and you have a pro-lifer person outside who is saying prayers, praying the rosary, just saying, please, you know, consider adoption, that can quote-unquote cause unreasonable distress to the abortionist, and he gets to call the police to silence the message. And it's not just in the pro-life issue. It's think about if you have a business and workers are striking. They're outside saying unfair business practices. That's losing business to the owner. That's causing him distress. He can call up the police and shut down any type
of
protest.
So, Ed, where are we in court on this right now? I mean, where does it stand?
We have filed a motion for an injunction. We received the state of Iowa's response the other day, and their response basically was, if you have polite protest in Iowa, it's okay, which is completely unconstitutional because the whole idea behind a protest is to cause attraction, is to cause disturbances.
Robust, uninhibited.
Exactly.
That's what the Supreme Court standards are. So we're in federal, so we're finally in that brief today. When's your next hearing date on that one?
We have an appearance with the court in January, but I do not know at this point whether this motion will be heard at that point.
So it's a motion for preliminary injunction, papers being filed today, Supreme Court cases, papers filing today, letters going out on the pastor in China. This is why your work and support of the ACLJ is so critical. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Julie's calling in from California on line one. Julie, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Julie, go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to let all your listeners know that my company is not only matching donations to ACLJ, but they are double matching from Thanksgiving to the end of the year.
Wow.
So your match, and I would encourage listeners to see if their businesses match donations.
And that's
ACLJ.
like a triple match because
quadruple.
If they're doing a double match, and then we have our match, so when that money comes into the ACLJ, the donation, we get a match for the total amount. That's exactly right, Julie. Thank you. Our entire team thanks. You know, you just heard three cases just there. One on an international level, one local in Iowa. Another one at the Supreme Court of the United States. We're filing a friend of the court brief defending a cross. That's why the work of the ACLJ is so critical.
Well, and Julie just reminded everybody to check with your employer that if you've got an employer that does a charitable contribution match or double match for employees that make contribution to the charitable organization of their choice, and you're going to donate to the ACLJ, be part of our matching challenge, you can quadruple if your employer does something like that. So check. Everybody's still at work in the next, at least today, and we'll come back from work between Christmas and New Year's.
And it may be there longer.
So, that's right. So again, take part in our matching challenge. You see all the work we've got going on just today in these federal courts, in the Supreme Court. Donate online right now, ACLJ.org. Your donation is doubled at ACLJ.org. And check in with your employer about that matching contribution.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, we've talked about cases that we've got at the Supreme, that we're filing briefs in the Supreme Court. We've talked about cases in Iowa, but now we're going right back to Washington, D.C. All right, so we're on the threshold of a government shutdown. That's what it looks like. And Mitch McConnell's talking right now. The House of Representatives passed a budget yesterday, passed a bill which included $5.7 billion for border security. That is not going to pass in the United States Senate, Jordan.
No, it will not pass because you've got a 60-vote threshold that you have to overcome. It is the
which is, by the way, not required in the Constitution.
No,
that's
a Senate rule has a legislative filibuster. Just like it used to have for Supreme Court nominees, other judicial nominations, and other cabinet-level positions. Now we're used to just you need the majority vote carries the day, and you don't have to worry about that 60-vote threshold. That is not the case when it comes to legislation. Now, President Trump has tweeted, Mitch, use the nuclear option and get it done. So to get rid of the legislative filibuster, we have a call coming in about the legislative filibuster. Let's take it. Chris in Nevada on line one. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. When did this 60-vote threshold come into play, and how long would it take to eliminate it?
Wes?
Yeah, Rule 22 is the rule in the Senate. It was established in 1917 when Woodrow Wilson was president at his urging. However, back then it was two-thirds. Now it's a 60-vote, which I think is three-fifths. This amendment to the original Rule 22 is 1975.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's a rule that says in order to vote on a bill, we have to have this 60-vote threshold.
Yeah, it's not the passage of a bill itself is still 51, right?
Correct.
Then? And then it's, but to get the vote, it's the 60 threshold, which again is in the Constitution at all.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did you notice what Wes said? He didn't say it's an article of the Constitution. He didn't say anything like that. He said it's Rule 22 and it's precedent of the United States Senate. And the threshold for invoking cloture, which Rule 22 sets out, Jay, does not give you a constitutional mandate for what that is at. So you could still have a debate over ending or invoking cloture and ending debate. You can set that threshold at whatever you want. And to the question of how long would it take, Jay, this could happen in one afternoon. That's what happened when Harry Reid changed the rule for lower court justices. It happened one afternoon when the Republicans changed it for Supreme Court justices. If they wanted to change the legislative filibuster in Rule 22, it could happen in a matter of hours.
I want to ask the American people listening to this radio broadcast, are you up for a government shutdown? Because that looks like what's about to happen here. But we need to put that shutdown, Harry, in context. I mean, this is not a shutdown of essential government services.
Absolutely not. A shutdown is aptly called a partial shutdown in this particular case because it would really only affect around 25% of the overall budget. Many important departments such as defense, labor, HHS, education, energy, and water, the legislative branch, military, construction, and veterans affairs, all of those departments are fully funded. And so a partial shutdown would only affect a limited portion of the government. That's number one. Number two, not every individual, even within those arenas, would lose their job or would be laid off or furloughed, whatever term we wish to use, because if they're essential, they would still come to work.
Yeah, I mean, so this, again, I think that what has to be made clear about what this government shutdown would look like. It would not affect 75% of the government, which is fully funded already. Department of Defense, Labor, HHS, Education, Energy, Water, the legislative branch, of course, they keep their funding, military construction, and Veterans Affairs. All of that remains funded. Here are what is tied up in this debate with the border wall. Agriculture, Department of Agriculture, the Financial Services, Interior, Transportation and HUD, Commerce, Justice and State, DHS, Department of State. Now, important to those, all of the essential staff within, like, Department of State or Justice or Department of Homeland Security to protect our homeland would be in place.
Yeah,
so it's just non-essential staff that would be furloughed.
So, Van, you think it is going to happen?
I do. It's important to note that about 98% of what Jordan just listed off, there's actually agreement on as well, but it's being held hostage over the wall debate. They're actually voting in the United States Senate right now, Jay. I suspect it will not succeed, but we're going to know soon enough.
All right, we'll know when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want to know, do you support this government shutdown or not? 800-684-3110. And support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledged to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
And by the way, while we're listening to that tune, I should say that a week from today, live concert on Facebook and Periscope. It'll be on my page, ACLJ's page, the band page. We're going to do a kind of end-of-the-year concert. Great. Bragging here. It's a great set. I have to say it is a great set. And everybody's going to be there for it, the whole band, and we're really going to have a good time. It's a great set. Some new stuff, too. So you'll want to enjoy it. We've been rehearsing a little bit, and everybody's ready to go. It's going to be a nice event at our media center. But again, if you're on Facebook and Periscope on Friday night, you could join us at about 9 o'clock Eastern time. I'm sure we'll send out some alerts about it on Facebook and Periscope, and also send some email alerts, and we'll mention it in the radio broadcast next week. All right, we're going right back to our phones. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Patricia is calling in from Delaware on line 3. Patricia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Patricia.
Hello.
Hey.
Jay, I have a question.
Yep.
I want to know all these GoFundMe pages.
Yep.
And there was a person, a vet, that was on one of the Fox News programs yesterday. Within 3 days, he had almost $10 million, and he is purposed to have that money go towards the wall. I want to know if there's any way legally that it can be used, because citizens are outraged. They want the wall. Can they pay the contractor direct, or is there any way around it?
You can't. I mean, this is border security. National security under our Constitution is a federal obligation. And now money can be raised and be donated to the Treasury and earmarked for that. That may be one way to do it.
That's probably the only
You are paying. Understand this. I know there's these, and I'm not saying anything against the GoFundMe campaigns. Understand me. There is a GoFundMe campaign that you're involved in, whether you like it or not. It's called your taxes. And that budget issue, as we've said 100 times, Stan, is not about the money. This is a political fight.
Yeah, that won't change the politics, Jay. I mean, this is not about the amount of money that it would cost to build the wall. This is about the politics. And let's just go through the hypothetical. If there was that amount of money donated to the Treasury, the Congress would still have to appropriate that in order for the expenditure to be made. So, again, I'm not saying one way or another on whether or not Americans should contribute to this. They would contribute if we built the wall. I think the sentiment of the American people, Jay, has already been made clear. I think they're in favor of this wall. That's why they put Donald Trump into the White House, and that's why he's standing firm on this. But no matter how the money comes in, the Constitution requires the Congress to appropriate the funds in the end.
That's why even if you do raise this kind of money, and the best way to send it would be is like you pay additional taxes, so you're sending a gift to the Treasury Department earmarked for a purpose, you can't decide how it's spent. So you'd have to be very careful about sending that money before and know that you have a Congress ready to appropriate it for that exact amount. And first of all, you know, $10 million is a lot. But we're talking about $25 billion, which is not a lot for the federal government. But it is a lot for a GoFundMe. I mean, so.
But you can't give the money to a contractor and say start building on government land. I mean, it just doesn't. That's just not the way it works.
Eminent domain. A lot of issues.
Yeah, there's a lot. Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I wish we could do that. It would be a great thing.
Yeah, but you can't because it's not your property, though. You can't go building fences on what's not your property. That doesn't mean these GoFundMe. I like the process of the ideas behind it, which is showing citizen action. But it's not something you can legally. Just you'd have to donate it to the Treasury.
Yeah, and there are moral reasons why we should have the wall.
Yeah,
and I point them out on my blog today on our website.
Wes has got Colonel Smith has a post on ACLJ.org, and why don't we put that in the? Let me know what it is so I can point people to it. I'm sure we'll be sending it out on our social media platforms as well.
But the reason
what's the basis context of it?
Yeah, the Nancy Pelosi week before last raised the issue of the border wall to the level of morality and called it an immoral concept to have a wall on our border. In fact, Jay, if you look at the drugs that come across, you look at the national security issues
and
the sex trafficking, most of the people brought across who are involved in sex trafficking, they are doing this for minors. These are minor young children, mostly women, who are brought across for the sex trade. A wall would stop human trafficking. It would essentially stop the drug trade, because when they try to come through legal ports of entry, they usually get caught. But also it would enhance our national security. It is immoral, Jay, not to have a border wall. And the other thing too is if we had a border wall, and I point this out in my article, it would allow all the thousands of people who are patrolling an open border to go to legal ports of entry, and they could actually process people's request to come into America more expeditiously.
Yep.
It would really help. It's a compassionate thing to do to deploy your people to the legal ports to help more people. Without a wall, it's not possible to do
Barbara
that.
Barbara on Facebook says this. If they do shut down the government, will there be room for negotiations in the new year? Harry, what's your sense? Your view on it, too.
Absolutely, there will be room for negotiations, and I think
the House is going to be Democrat-controlled.
Absolutely, and so that's the
it's going to be tough.
The new issue that will confront any effort to reach a compromise. I think it's important to continuously place this in context, though. $5.7 billion, which has been appropriated or approved by the U.S. House, is less than 0.1% of the 2019 federal budget. Yet Democrats such as Pelosi, Feinstein, and Schumer, who have strongly supported border security in the past, now oppose the wall simply because, A, they dislike the president, and B, because of ideology. They also strongly oppose, one would hope, human trafficking. And one of the more effective devices to stop human trafficking and drug trafficking would indeed be a wall. Yet they may remain adamant in opposing this wall, and Nancy Pelosi will indeed be empowered next year as she resumes her position as House Speaker.
Interesting. I have a new victory, actually, to report. This is an international victory out of Bulgaria we've been working on. Came in through our friends. We had a blog up about it, European Coalition for Israel, and Thomas Sandahl connected us to Andre Avramov, who I've been working with Gregor and Christoph in our Strasbourg office, who there was this legislation moving forward in Bulgaria that was just going to be no good, especially for evangelical and smaller religious groups. They were really trying to target radical Islam, just going about it the wrong way. We submitted to a number of international bodies the problems with this, and including the Bulgarian parliament, And Andre just emailed that the religious denominations law amendments were just accepted in Bulgarian parliament. The deliberations in parliament are finished. The provisions that we protested against were all dropped. And so the Trump
complete victory.
So complete victory. Like there were going to be minimum requirements for membership, bans on religious schools of minority religions, and having international leaders or worship services led by non-Bulgarians. All of that, again, has been removed from the new law. So a huge victory there. We'll get a blog up from our European Center for Law and Justice team. So these are all happening, huge. Again, right at the end of the year,
yep.
A law affecting the gospel.
Yep.
And again, I think another reason why to support the work of the ACLJ. I just got it in on my email from an email from someone I have not met, but came in through the European Coalition for Israel, which we work with closely. And there it comes in from Sofia, Bulgaria, and a Bulgarian Parliament update because our European Center for Law and Justice yep. team is able to utilize all these international institutions that Americans were just not as familiar with, but are very effective in places like Bulgaria because of the idea that they could face sanctions even for passing laws like this. And another victory report. It's why you support the work of the ACLJ, because we worked the last minutes of the year to defend religious liberty everywhere, all across the globe. Support our work now. Double the impact of your donation. Remember, we have that matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org, where if you donate $30, we have a donor ready to match that $30. And so effectively, your gift is $60. And every donation is treated that way, from the smallest to the largest, at ACLJ.org.
So Dana on Facebook said, did the House just pass the vote yesterday because they knew the Senate would never pass it, Than?
No, I think they did it to prove who the problem is in this process. And actually, I think that's the most important thing that's happened this week. It's now very clear that an overwhelming majority of Republicans in the House, a vote margin again by 32, are in favor of the wall and in favor of border security. And I think the vote we're about to see in the Senate is going to prove that Republicans in the Senate are for that as well, but Democrats aren't. So this goes back to the conversation.
So how do you get out of this? I mean, I asked this to Harry. What's the end game here?
That's where I was going, because I think next year when Nancy Pelosi takes over the House and then can't pass any bill out of the floor of the House relating to the wall, it will prove where the problem is. So then I think that brings them back to the table. And Jay, look, here's just one of the sort of ugly realities of Washington, D.C. She will already have been Speaker by then, so she won't have to cater as hard to those members of her party that wouldn't vote for her for Speaker if she put wall funding on the floor. So you talk about flexibility. It's not a comfortable thing to talk about. I think that's what might bring her to the table, though.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think that's a possibility, but I also think that Than is a bit more optimistic than I am about Nancy Pelosi's flexibility. The other issue that's out there, of course, is Nancy Pelosi's commitment to hypocrisy. And so one of the things that I would like to see listeners think about is to start a GoFundMe program that exposes the hypocrisy of the Democrats.
Oh, there you go. All right. But we want you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're not doing GoFundMe. ACLJ.org is the way to do that. We're in a matching challenge campaign. And we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110.
You know, victories coming in, cases being filed here in the United States and around the world. It's all because of your support that we're able to engage from Bulgaria to Iowa district courts, to the U.S. Supreme Court and everything in between, to legislative affairs. It's because of your support to the ACLJ. Donate now at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. Whatever you donate is doubled. So if you donate $20, that's what you're charged, but the donation is matched, so it becomes $40. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular Live, this is Jordan Secular. I wanted to mention before we went right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110 that we have special broadcasting for you next week on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then we'll be back
in
the studios.
We're live after that, yep.
We'll be live after that, so yep. If you're traveling on Wednesday, tune in. Our shows are absolutely live. But if you're traveling on Monday and Tuesday, whether it's to a family member's house or you're making a trip on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, we're going to be live. So we're not going to be live those days, but we have special broadcasts for you for the holidays that we've put together that are information you may not yet have heard. Some of it's completely new as well, new broadcasting. And then on Wednesday, we will be back in the studio live again. So I will say at the end of the broadcast, say Merry Christmas to you all. There is going to be new broadcasting on Monday, Christmas Eve, and Tuesday, Christmas Day, and we'll be back live in the studio on Wednesday.
And then, as I told you, on the evening of the 28th, we're doing a special concert with the Jay Sekulow Band. Our band's going to do a couple-hour set here in our media center, and we have a live audience. It'll be a lot of fun, and we encourage you to join us. That'll be about 9 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be sending out some information about that as well.
For our Facebook and Periscope audience, so they know, we won't be putting video broadcast up Monday and Tuesday,
right.
But we'll be back Wednesday.
Yep.
And again, you can always get the broadcast at aclj.org.
Of course.
We have them streamed there.
Yep.
The audio is available there and on iTunes. Let's
go
right
to
the phones.
Yep.
In order, and that's what we do in our final segment. Nancy in California on line 3. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi.
Hey.
So I don't really know the terminology well, so forgive me if I mess this up, but is it possible that somebody could go forward and put forth a bill or whatever it's called to say that this GoFundMe thing will be set directly for the wall, and if not, then refunded, but that it would be specific that the...
No, the government doesn't have jurisdiction over private dollars that way, other than the taxing authority. So it's not a tax, so the government cannot assess or say, here's the money. It would go to the Treasury. And I just want to put a reality in there. I understand the emotions behind it and why people are doing it, but to actually implement it, if you were to raise the $5 billion, now, could you designate it to the Treasury and then the Treasury use it for that purpose? I'm probably a way to do it. But Dan, have you looked at that yet? Have anybody talked about that seriously?
They'd have to take the same vote they're taking right now, Jay, to appropriate it out of the Treasury and get it spent. I mean, look,
you can't do that as an individual citizen. Right, yeah. Go ahead.
The senator she's talking about, Jay, need to cast a vote in favor of the bill that's on the floor right now because it pays for the construction of the wall. That's what the senators that she's talking about need to do.
But you do, I mean, Harry, I do understand the sentiment of people are like fed up because $5 billion, which sounds like a lot, you've already got a GoFundMe campaign that's raised like $12 million. That's a long way from $5 billion. But it tells you.
Yes.
That there's
so there
desire
is
out
a
there.
Strong sentiment among the populace in support of the wall. And I think that's one of the reasons why the administration has decided to at least risk a partial shutdown of the government. And I think that is appropriate. It's also important to note that if we look at the Constitution, Congress has Article 1 authority to pass bills and appropriations, which would then be signed by the president pursuant to his Article 2 authority, and then the courts would have jurisdiction if indeed there's litigation. But private citizens cannot individually fund the wall, notwithstanding the fact that that does sound very attractive given the reluctance of Congress to do its job.
Well, it's on government property or private property, or as Jordan said, you'd have to get it through eminent domain. Very complicated process. But Wes Smith, Colonel Smith, has an article up right now at ACLJ.org on five reasons why the border wall is a moral issue. And this was in response to Nancy Pelosi saying it's immoral.
Right. She says it's immoral. But when you look at the drugs that come across and the thousands of people who die in America of drug overdoses, and especially, I mean, I'm a father of two daughters. You look at the human trafficking. Most of the human traffickers bring their prey across the border on the open parts of the border. They don't try to come through legal ports of entry with bringing people to America for forced prostitution. That alone raises this to the level of a moral issue. In the Senate, they're voting, you know, whether or not to move forward with this. But the one thing I will say is that the optics really look bad for the Democrats who will vote no on moving this bill forward, considering the bill, because not only is it going against the border wall, which I think the majority of people support, and it is indeed a moral issue. But at the same time, in this same package, there is not only the $5.7 billion for the wall, there is $8 billion earmarked for hurricane relief in Florida and the relief for the people with the wildfires in California. So they are actually voting not just to not fund the border wall, but to not help people with hurricanes and the huge fires in California. And the way it has been set up, the people that are blocking this are Chuck Schumer and his caucus in the Senate. And it still will fail, but it's bad optics for them. The president said he would own this, but in fact, the Democrats are owning this shutdown.
So, Than, give us quickly what's going on. Well, let me take the caller, and then we're going to get into particulars. All right, Janet, New Hampshire, you're on the air.
Hi. So my daughter, I'm finding out she's attending a very liberal school. Their policy is they don't celebrate any holidays. So you can't mention Christmas. Teachers don't want Christmas presents, all this kind of thing. However, today she went to school to celebrate the winter solstice.
Of course. And so, did they give you any advance notice on this?
No, she just came home and mentioned it and said that.
What grade is she
also
in?
Practice
first grade, you said,
first
right?
First grade. She's in first grade. She also practices yoga in her PE class. She also is learning about, in their social studies curriculum, India, China, and Mexico. They are studying the world religions.
Well, studying world religions, I mean, on first grade, that's a little young, but studying world religions is fine. It's the active participation in it. But what about the winter solstice, Wes?
It is a religious holiday. It is a religious holiday for Druids and Wiccans. So, I mean, that is a religious term if you're a Wiccan or a Druid.
Okay. There you go.
It is also a scientific term, so the school can try to parse it both ways because there's a winter. Shortest day of daylight the year, and then there's the summer solstice, which is the longest day of daylight. But again, it's.
But if they're celebrating that,
they're celebrating
a holiday,
that as a holiday. It's more of the religion. And first grade world religions.
Yeah.
I'm interested about learning about cultures and countries and kind of getting a basic understanding.
But world
religions
at first grade is
absurd. I
read those
kind of books to my 2.5-year-old all the time, so she understands the world, but. I mean, comprehending that, they're not comprehending yet the religion that you want to raise them in.
Right.
And so, I mean, they're definitely not.
Yeah.
So they're just coming to terms with their own family believes. You can imagine, again, the confusion level. It's like, why not have a teaching, you know, ABCs, counting, and good reading?
Well, that's what I said.
Good writing.
Taking the 45 minutes out for the for mindfulness. How about teaching better math skills? All right, Than. Besides the winter solstice, longest day, it's going to be. This is going to happen, correct? We're going into a shutdown-ish, whatever you call this.
David Fonseca from our office is monitoring the debate, and two updates, Jay. First of all, they're going to have to hold the debate, the vote open for a few senators to return. They're not yet back to Washington. And Jay, Senate Democrats have been joined by a Senate Republican in opposing moving to this bill. Jeff Flake has just voted no on voting on proceeding to debating this bill.
There you go. Merry Christmas. Hey, look, this is the last moment we're coming to you live before the holiday. So from all of us at the ACLJ and from my family to your family, Merry Christmas. We'll be live, as Jordan said, the days after Christmas, and we've got special programming for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then we're right back at it here again. But don't forget, great time to support the work of the ACLJ.
We had victories announced on air today coming out of Bulgaria. We have court filings going on today. We need your financial support. Donate online at ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate is matched. That means if you donate $20, we have a donor ready to match that at ACLJ.org. Make the donation today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.